worry about anything but in everything by prayer and petition with thanksgiving. Let your requests be made known to God, and the peace of God, which passes all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Philippians chapter 4, verses 6 and 7. Thanks for listening. This is the Hour of Intercession. I'm Pastor Joseph Parker, and grateful to have our co-host today, Victory McIntosh. We invite you to look with us in the Word of God, in the book of John, the Gospel of John, starting at chapter 15, beginning at verse 1. Again, the Gospel of John, chapter 15, starting at verse 1. I am the true vine, and my Father is the vine dresser. Every branch in me that does not bear fruit, he takes away, and every branch that bears fruit, he prunes that it may bear more fruit. You are already clean because of the word which I have spoken to you. Abide in me, and I in you. As the branch cannot bear fruit of itself unless it abides in the vine, neither can you unless you abide in me. I am the vine, you are the branches. He who abides in me and I in him bears much fruit, for without me you can do nothing. If anyone does not abide in me, he is cast out as a branch and is withered, and they gather them and throw them into the fire, and they are burned. If you abide in me and my words abide in you, you will ask what you desire, and it shall be done for you. By this my Father is glorified, that you bear much fruit, so you will be my disciples. As the Father loved me, I also have loved you. Abide in my love. If you keep my commandments, you will abide in my love, just as I have kept my Father's commandments and abide in his love. These things I have spoken to you, that my joy may remain in you and that your joy may be full. This is my commandment, that you love one another as I have loved you. Greater love has no one than this, than to lay down one's life for his friends. Verses 1 through 13, the Gospel of John, chapter 15. Lord, we thank you for your word, and thank you for the fact that your word, amongst other things, is a love letter that you sent us a long time ago, but is just as powerful as the day when you first spoke the words of all of the word of God. And Lord, thank you for the privilege of being able to open your word every day and spend time one-on-one with you as you speak words of life, words of blessing, words of grace, words of empowerment into our lives. Help us to grow day by day in our love for your word, and help us to grow in our understanding of the need for us to teach and challenge each other to fill our hearts and our minds with your word each and every day. We thank you and praise you for the wonderful gift of your word. In Jesus' name we do pray. Amen. Thanks again for listening to the Hour of Intercession. Again, we appreciate you listening, and of course, as I mentioned, grateful to have Victory McIntosh with us in studio today. Victory, how are you today?
I'm blessed. Thanks for allowing me to join you.
It's always a privilege to have you in studio with us. And as we start off, I want to remind our listeners that we want to encourage you to go to our website, urbanfamilytalk.com. Again, that's urbanfamilytalk.com. Ask that you go there and subscribe, and also check out some of the items you'll find on the website. Some of the blogs, the articles that are there, and other features that I think you'll find encouraging and uplifting as well. Also, we'd like to remind you that we do have free mobile apps for your iPhones and Android devices. All you have to do is go to the App Store and search Urban Family Talk, and you'll be able to obtain them. And, of course, you can take Urban with you wherever you might go if and when you get them. So hope you'll take time to do that. We'd like to invite you to go on Facebook as well, and like our two Facebook pages, Urban, again, of course, our website is Urban Family Talk. Facebook page is Hour of Intercession and Hour of Intercession Live. So I hope that you'll take time to do that. We're grateful and blessed to have as our phone guest today, Pastor Russell Morrow. He's Dr. Russell Morrow. He's the pastor of New Generation Ministries Empowerment Center, a new church fellowship in the Memphis, Tennessee community. Pastor Morrow, how are you today?
Doing fine, Pastor Parker. How are you?
Privileged and blessed to have you on, and we're grateful that you took time out of your busy schedule to be with us. And again, I have with me in studio Victory McIntosh, who will be sharing some very insightful questions that she may want to share throughout the interview as well. But thank you again for taking the time to be with us. And as we start off, I'm going to ask if you'll take time to introduce yourself further. Now, of course, we've had the privilege of having you on. It's been a while, but you have been on with us before. But reintroduce yourself to our listeners and tell them a little bit about yourself and your ministry over the years.
Well, thank you. Thank you for having us on. Hello, Victory.
Hey, Pastor.
We've been in the Mid-South area for several years, and we're United Methodist pastor, and We do outreach to youth and young adults, homeless community, and our bishop asked us to come to Memphis and to do a church plant. And we landed in the South Memphis area on South Lauderdale, mm-hmm. right across from Alton Elementary and fire station, I believe, is 20. Mm-hmm. And the facility that we're in has been there. That congregation, before they disbanded, had been there 90, I believe, almost 90 years. Mm-hmm. So we're really honored to come. And we regret that the congregation disbanded, but church has a long history of service in the community, and we just desire to continue that, focusing on evangelism, health care, community outreach, education, and economic development.
Hmm. Okay, then. You know, of course, we live in a culture and a society where there's such a need for the church to really approach ministry with a holistic perspective, because the needs are so great and so varied in the given community, especially in the inner city. And so, of course, yes, the challenges that are there are unique to just urban communities. But again, we serve a big God that's able to help church to be who
that's
we're
right.
called to be. So, well, tell us about, okay, you have some unique challenges that have happened to you over the last, well, for the time you've been in the Memphis community. And you're going to share some with us about that today.
Yes. We came to Memphis in June of 2015, and we began reaching out into the community, going to what we call fishing holes, where we just go certain places and spend time meeting people and developing relationships, hearing people's stories and giving them a word of encouragement. And in the midst of that, actually, it was my wife and I, and sometimes our daughter, Audrey. And by December 16th of last year, our daughter, Audrey, was in a very severe automobile accident about 10 o'clock in the morning. We didn't find out about it until about 5:30. And it was really frightening. Earth-shattering experience for us.
Mm-hmm.
And so when we got to where she was, she was very unresponsive. In fact, what we found out was that the accident, she hit something so hard that it shifted her brain to the left, and she suffered a severe brain trauma.
Mm-hmm.
And that's how we went through the Christmas season last year, not knowing what the outcome would be,
right,
and making just really adjusting our whole life to seeing that she got the best health care she could, and we could do everything we could. And that was very stressful for my wife and I.
Right.
But God is good.
Well, can you tell me, why did it take them so long to notify you after the accident took place?
Well, they did not have our information. You know, she's a grown adult, and she's lived her life. And but they found us because of the license plate, and it took them pretty much the whole day to find us.
I see.
But they eventually found us. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
The interesting thing about it is that in the accident, the news report showed that they talked about a fire and how the passerbyers and people got out of their cars. It was a rainy day, and they took cups and bottles and filled it up with the rainwater in the street and poured it on the fire, which allowed her to get out of the car just get out of the car so when the ambulance came, they could take her.
Right. Okay.
Pastor Mara, if you don't mind me asking, Pastor Barker,
right.
how old is your daughter? How old is Audrey?
She had just turned 27.
27.
Her birthday's on November 15th. This accident happened on December 16th.
Mm-hmm.
So she just turned 27. The interesting thing about Audrey is that she's been a mathematics teacher, and she gave that up and went into seminary and was working on a master's, doing part-time work in a daycare center. And so she's always been involved with children. She's a musician, and she's a phenomenal singer, and she grew up as a really strong, critical thinker and academic, I don't want her to hear me say, but an academic genius. And okay. She attended and graduated from Washington University in St. Louis. So she had a lot going for her when this happened.
Right, right. And when it, and of course, you know, of course, my wife, Birdie, and I, as friends of you all's, had a chance to come. And I guess initially, you really weren't sure what was going to happen after, you know, she was taken to the hospital. And I think she was in a coma for some time then.
Yeah, she was in an induced coma because they needed to minimize the brain activity so that it wouldn't swell and be active. And so they kept her in an induced coma for a very long time.
Okay. So was it for a period of months then?
Well, she stayed in trauma at the Med. And shout out for the Regional One. They are a phenomenal organization. Mm-hmm. She was there for 3 months in trauma. And when they took her out of the first level of trauma and moved her on, then she would have setbacks. I think she had like 2 or 3 setbacks, and they had to take her back to trauma. Mm-hmm. And that was very stressful.
Right, right.
Very stressful, yeah. Mm-hmm.
And, of course, as Dad and Mom, you all were there just with them most of the time and just in and out of the hospital. And, of course, that all by itself, that takes a lot out of you, too. So, but Dr. Mark, would you take time now? Would you lift up listeners? You know, there are many different kinds of trauma and difficulty that families may go through that might be similar in many ways. And there may be some listeners who they might be going something even as we speak. But, you know, it's so good for us to know that we serve a God and we're comforted and encouraged by a Holy Spirit that's able to comfort us in a way that nobody else or nothing else can. Would you lift those people up in prayer at this time, please?
Yes, yes, be glad to. Eternal God, we come before you right now with a spirit of honor and praise to you.
Thank you, Lord.
As you are our sovereign God who demonstrates such love and grace and mercy upon us.
Thank you.
And we just thank you, Lord, that when we find ourselves in the midst of a storm, we find ourselves in the midst of not knowing what is going to happen when it comes to our loved ones or our people we care for, or even in our own lives. We thank you, Lord, that when we look to you and trust you and hold to your unchanging hand, that you will not leave us nor forsake us, but that you will guide us, you will comfort us, you will keep us. No matter what the outcome will be, we thank you for the peace that you give us that passes all understanding. So, Lord, I just ask that if there's anybody listening right now who is going through a storm, a dark night of the soul experience. They don't know what the future is going to be, and they're dwelling in pain and discomfort and worry and fear. Lord, I pray that you would just touch them with your holy divine presence and help them, oh God, to find peace in the midst of their storm. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen. Our guest is Dr. Russell Morrow. We'll be right back after this break.
We're losing 417 Vietnam veterans every day, and with them goes their memories and unique personal histories. This includes the 7,286 African-American heroes who made the ultimate sacrifice for our country during the Vietnam War. Help us keep their memory alive by collecting their photos and by putting a face to each name inscribed on the Vietnam Veterans Memorial in Washington, D.C. The Education Center at the Wall on our National Mall will display these photos and be a place where their faces and contributions will never be forgotten. It will complete the work of the Memorial Wall and also honor those who sacrificed their lives in Iraq and Afghanistan. Help honor the service of all American veterans and bring their sacrifice to life. Visit vvmf.org to share your photos and your stories. That's vvmf.org.
A message from the Vietnam Veterans Memorial Fund.
This new season I'm in, I have the awesome privilege of speaking to teens about abstinence. One day we got on abortion, and I explained to the group of girls it's murder and how every child is a gift from God. I had a few girls to come up with every excuse why it's okay to abort. Thank God for the Holy Ghost, because He will lead you with just the right thing to say. I emphasized to the girls on counseling with a Christian advisor and the option of adoption. After class, many of the girls were interacting with me about various things that were discussed that day. One quiet girl summoned me over and whispered in my ear, "I was adopted." Romans chapter 8 verse 15 says, "For you did not receive the spirit of slavery to fall back into fear, but you have received the spirit of adoption as sons, by whom we cry, Abba, Father." Those who confess Jesus as Lord have been adopted into the kingdom of God. For a heart for the urban family, I'm today's urban woman, Victory McIntosh. Connect with us more at urbanfamilytalk.com.
The Awakening, shaking believers out of our slumber and calling us to action. The Awakening, encouraging Christians to rise up and stand, though all around us are falling. The Awakening, hosted by a warrior for the Word of God and for the Constitution, Bishop E.W. Jackson.
One nation under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Tune in to Urban Family Talk, Monday, Wednesday, and Friday mornings at 9 Central for The Awakening.
Just as David's mighty man Benaiah chased down a lion into a pit on a snowy day, Lion Chasers champions uncommon men and women of faith who are unafraid to stand up and speak truth to power in these dark and evil days. Never before has there been such a need for people of faith to draw a line in the sand with the sword of truth. Lion Chasers, the intersection of faith and public policy, with Lonnie Poindexter. Weekday mornings at 10 Central on Urban Family Talk.
The music of Out of Eden, the song Be Still My Soul. Thanks for listening to the Hour of Intercession here on Urban Family Talk. Our phone guest today is Pastor Russell Morrow. He's the pastor of New Generation Ministries Empowerment Center in Memphis, Tennessee. And Pastor Morrow, if you'll pick up where you left off, you were sharing. Well, I tell you, let me ask this question, if you would, as we start off this next segment. You know, one thing that is interesting and really amusing to think about, too, young parents sometimes get it in their head that when their children graduate from high school, they think, well, my job is done. And then at some point they get the revelation that not only is their job not done, it's just getting started. And the reality is it's our job to pray for our children and love them and support them all their life. And if someone wants to ask the question, when is our job over? When somebody goes to heaven, one or the other. But of course, obviously, for every parent, your children are in your heart all their life long. And so especially when you're dealing with a trauma like this, again, only the parents themselves can tell the journey they've been through when you go through such a horrific tragedy like this, though. But can you pick up where you left off in sharing before we went into the break? So.
Okay. Well, you and I both know, because we've been raising our children together for just about 30 years, and we've watched them grow and mature, and we're always having to do something when they leave home. They come back to us, and we continue to love them.
That's right.
The challenging thing about Audrey's situation is that so many people thought the world of her, and rightfully so, because of the work she did with children and what she was doing at Memphis Theological Seminary. But only parents know their children like no one else does.
That's right.
We understand their thinking processes. We understand their fears and their shortcomings and everything. And so in the midst of her situation, you know, we have faith, but also we seek understanding. Lord, why? And that we spent a lot of time, at least I know I did, in Elaine, we talked about those things. You know, what happened? And even in talking with my sisters, and we've come to the conclusion that this was a reset for Audrey, so that she would really tune into what gifting that God has given her and the call on her life.
Right.
And then I thought about my own experience in growing up and things that happened to me that said it was a reset. Sometimes resets are really difficult and painful, and sometimes they're a little bit easier to deal with. But we're thankful that through it all, that God has delivered her, is delivering her, and restoring her. During the process, and trying to do a church plant, and never challenging God or questioning God in a way that was disrespectful, but saying, okay, God, whatever the reason is, let your will be done.
Right.
And what I discovered was a lot of my friends had a problem with that, because they would come in and say, God is going to heal in the name of Jesus. And they honestly meant well, and they honestly was sincere in what they were saying. How many times have persons declared without really seeking God
in
a situation, saying that God is going to do something, and then he doesn't do it the way they expect it. And so many people leave the church and begin to distrust God and grow up hating God. And so when people would do that, you know, I had to reject that and say, this, what we want to happen, has to be according to God's will. My prayer is, God, deliver and heal our daughter in the name of Jesus. And then I thought about Jesus, how he prayed in Gethsemane, three prayers. Lord, I don't really want to do this.
Jesus.
But if it's possible, let me get away, but nevertheless, not your will. And when I was able to really, really pray that and articulate it, I began to feel better. I began to feel better and know that God is in charge.
That's
all
right.
The way.
He's sovereign in every situation.
May I ask a question, Dr. Mara?
Yes,
did I say right? Sir, first off, I'm trying to contain myself over here. My dad has been in the hospital since Tuesday this week, and it wasn't good news. And what you just hit on, the other night I was talking to the Lord, and I said, Father, you know, my desire is for your will to completely heal him. But what you just said, and the Holy Ghost brought up to me when Jesus was in the Garden of Gethsemane, and he did plead with the Lord, you know, like Jesus, oh my gosh, he was in the beginning of Genesis, was pleading with the Lord, like, if this cup could pass, Father, but let your will. So how, if this is my question to you, and I'm just thinking this in my head, how can we as believers get to the point where we are okay if his will isn't what we want? Because that's the thing, because, you know, we are these human beings. Like, yes, we're a spirit man, but we do live in this flesh, and we can get so attached to the things of this world, you know? Because ultimate healing, of course, is heaven bound, but, you know, we can be selfish. Like, I told the Lord, I'm selfish. I want my daddy here. I'm 26, sir. Like, when you say your daughter was 27, I'm 26. I'm not married. I want my daddy. Walk me down that aisle, you know? But the thought of him not being here, it did bother me, and I'm still coping with it. So what would be your advice for people who are like what you said, like, because there were people who decreed and declared my daddy ill, but what if the Lord wants to heal another way? I'm sorry, I'm very passionate.
That's all right. What we have to do is really, really trust God. Life, experience, trials and tribulations have shown me that this journey isn't anything to play with when we call ourselves Christians. Nothing to play with. Either you trust God in all things or you don't. And when you trust God, you know, and you lean not to your own understanding, as the writer of Proverbs says, all our ways acknowledge him. He will direct us. He will guide us. He'll comfort us. And sometimes we just have to be a witness to others about that very fact. You know, men's traditions, men's cliches, men's attitudes, men's theology, you know, not under the anointing of God, can get us in a lot of trouble. But we have to just trust God. And on this journey, not only did I make up in my mind that I was going to trust God, I made up in my mind that I was going to continue to do his will. There's another piece about that. If you really want true favor of God, you have to remain faithful to what God has called you to do.
My Lord.
And when Jesus said, nevertheless, not my will, and he went through all he did, even through his ministry, and people were coming after him, and they tried to throw him off cliffs and kill him. He just kept on being faithful. And three times Jesus said, you are my son, who I am well pleased, to him and to others that perhaps were there. And sometimes he said it to Jesus, and no one heard it, but other times those that were around. And then I love what Apostle Paul did when he talked about the faithfulness of Jesus and his obedience to the point that at the name of Jesus, every knee shall bow and every tongue shall confess on earth, under the earth, everywhere. What greater favor can you have from being faithful and trusting God no matter what? My favor that I wanted was her healing, her restoration, her deliverance, you know, for her to come back and be herself as much as she could possibly be. And so, to help demonstrate my trust in God and find the peace and solace that I needed, I realized that it was important to be a wounded healer. The very night that we went to see her for the first time, she's sitting up, glass in her hair, and Pastor Parker would tell you she had hair of glory. And then she had this thermometer sticking out, this monitor, metal monitor sticking out of head, measuring the brain. And that just really, really threw us back. But then my wife comes to me and she says, there's a lady over here that needs you to pray for her.
Jesus.
She said, her son just came in, got a bullet hole in his head. She's crying. Come pray for her. You know, almost like Mary with Jesus, you know, turn the water into wine. So I leave Audrey and we go and we pray for this lady. And I realize what a blessing to be able to minister to someone who is suffering just like you.
Right.
In the midst of your storm. So trusting God meant continuing to be a wounded healer.
That's right.
Meant staying the course, continue to do the work of ministry. I couldn't do it as good as I needed to do, but I stayed as faithful as I could to getting the job done.
I love you, Dr. Morrow. This is so good. I'm sorry. This is so good.
Yeah. Well, Dr. Morrow, let me ask this now. You mentioned she was in a coma about 3 months or so. Is that what you were saying?
Induced coma.
An induced coma. Okay, then.
Yeah.
So how long was it before she came to where she could actually look and see you all?
Well, it took a while. We thought that she recognized us because, you know, you hold her hand and, you know, you tell her to put her thumbs up. She never did, but she would squeeze. And, you know, we wanted to believe that she knew it was us, but then the doctors would come back and the nurses and say it's just a impulse, a muscle. Muscle reaction.
Okay.
But what we discovered is, she had to have, when they took her cap off of her brain and they let it, she stayed that way for several weeks.
Okay.
And they put a shunt in her head. And the shunt didn't work. So they had to take her into surgery and fix it. Then it still didn't work. And so I think three times they had to go and deal with the shunt in her head. But that prolonged that time where she could come out of the induced coma.
Okay.
And then it got to the point where they felt that it was okay to put the cap back on her skull, put it back together. And then we just waited. And then she started having, she had seizures before that. And she would wake up and she would look, but we never really knew if she knew who we were.
Right.
But
right.
In time, she did. So I'd say within the, Elaine talks about Holy Week, March, and all of the different things that happened show that God was moving in her restoration, and we just celebrated all of that. And so it was in March, middle to the latter part of March, that we think she really began to know who we were.
To recognize.
Who her parents were, recognize us. Yeah.
Okay. And that's when she started being responsive in a way where you started to communicate a little bit then, at least, right?
Just a little bit, you know. And when we took her out, by the time we took her out, the beauty of it was, they took the trach out. She was able to, they were able to take the trach out like the day before she left trauma, you know.
Okay.
She was on respirators. They was always suctioning her out, and that, I think, did a lot of damage just in and of itself.
We'll jump in one more time. We'll pick up on the other side of the break, where our guest is Dr. Russell Morrow. We'll be right back.
About justice
and aren't afraid to ask hard questions.
In fact, we care about a lot of things. We have passion for truth.
We are EngageMagazine.net, an online group of millennials brought together by a common goal: to share truth, apply scripture, and to get involved in our lost and hurting world. EngageMagazine.net hosts discussions that help you apply a biblical worldview to your daily life. EngageMagazine.net.
Hi, I'm Alan. I was only 12 when some drug dealers by my playground got me hooked, and I spent the next 25 years struggling with an addiction. Fortunately, Teen Challenge has reversed all that, and I'm drug-free.
If you know an adult or teenager who's struggling with a chemical addiction, Teen Challenge can help. Call us today at 417-581-2181 or reach us online at teenchallengeusa.com. This is Urban Family Talk.
Just because deliverance seems just around the corner doesn't mean it actually is. But Dr. Tony Evans says that actually may be good news. He'll explain why as we spend 2 minutes with Tony.
I was on the phone with a brother at midnight last night who was bemoaning circumstances in his life. We went over this principle that when God disappoints you, when it looked like he was going to deliver you, it's really God telling you, get ready for where I'm taking you. And when he discovered that that's how God works, it didn't change his situation. It did change how he saw it. When it looks like God is going to deliver you, and then he turns around and disappoints you, as bad as it feels, it's great that it occurred, because God is setting you up for where he's taking you. Now that raises a question, doesn't it? God, why you want to do me like that? Why you want to set me up and then break my heart? Why you want to make it look like you're getting ready to deliver me and not deliver me? Anybody here ever been disappointed by God? When God takes you to your destiny, he doesn't want to share the credit with you. He wants to have all the glory, and he wants to get all the notoriety. 2 Corinthians chapter 1, Paul says, God took us to the point of death. He took us to the point where we were just throwing in the towel. We gave up all hope. And then he says, why? So that we would learn not to trust in ourselves, but to trust in the only one who can raise the dead.
Learn more about surviving and even thriving through the tough times in life. Check out Dr. Evans' teaching series, Living Above the Circumstances, available online at tonyevans.org. Then join us next time for 2 Minutes with Tony.
The music from Planet Shakers, the song simply entitled The Anthem. Thanks for listening to the Hour of Intercession here on Urban Family Talk. Our phone guest today is Pastor Russell Morrow. And Dr. Morrow, before you come back, I wanted to remind every single listener that, you know, one of the best known scriptures in all of the Word of God and one of the most famous passages in God's Word, best known all over the world, is Psalm 23. And one of the verses tell us, yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for you are with me, your rod and your staff, they comfort me. And in every one of our lives, all of us at one time or another, and in fact, many times, we pass through the valley of the shadow of death. And it takes many different forms, but we have a Heavenly Father and a great Shepherd that has let us know, I'm with you. Mm. You're not traveling alone. That's a very important promise. Jeez. For all of us to hang on to. Very, very important. So, Dr. Morrow, though, so Audrey then, she was responsive after about, was it, four to 5 months? Is that what you were saying?
Well, she became responsive, slightly responsive, before she left at the end of about almost 3 months.
Well, 3 months, okay.
Three and a half months later.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
And then when she moved on to the rehabilitation center, mm-hmm. she became more and more responsive.
Okay.
You know, the doctors have their thoughts on the healing process and things of that nature.
Mm-hmm.
I've had two run-ins with doctors who operated without faith. One was respectful, the other one wasn't. And we just X that doctor out of everything that we were doing.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, we're people of faith. And I also believe in reason. Reason and faith, they go hand in hand. But when you want to eliminate faith totally and say everything is done by logic, reason, and science, and give recognition of the hand of God, then mm-hmm. they can't deal with you. At least in that situation with my daughter.
Right.
But what we found was the more that we talked to her,
mm-hmm.
the more we challenged her to speak and challenged her to do things, the easier it was for her to come back.
Mm-hmm.
And you know, my daughter, she and I always are debating and arguing over something. And that really helped her, you know, because mm-hmm. even in her recovery, she's going to want to disagree with me when she thinks she's right. So.
Mm-hmm. Oh, okay.
And all of that was a part of the therapy. And the more engagement she had with her aunts and her brothers and sisters, mm-hmm. Sister, the better it was.
When did she start talking again?
She started talking, I'm going to say, really talking where we could understand her, probably in May.
May, okay.
Or June.
So around then, 6 or so months after the accident.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, and we really still couldn't understand her, because a lot of it had to do with her her vocal cords.
Mm-hmm.
One of her vocal cords was totally damaged, mm-hmm. but it wasn't from the accident. I think it was from all of the tubes and the suctioning they did to her all the time.
Oh, okay.
And the first time I took her to the doctor for ear, nose, and throat, it was very bleak, mm-hmm. very bleak. She could say things, she could mumble things, but she didn't really understand.
Right.
But by the second time we took her back, they saw a difference. And when we take her back this next time, I'm believing by faith and by watching what God has done,
mm-hmm.
that her vocal cord is going to be okay.
That's good.
The way she talks now and expresses herself and sings and argues and all, I think it's okay anyway. So
mm-hmm.
I just shout hallelujah.
God is
good. But let me go back to that passage, because that passage was something that I wanted to make reference to. Gabriel, I walked the valley of the shadow of death.
Mm-hmm.
One thing that we did through this whole process was sing, pray, and praise God.
Mm-hmm.
Even mm-hmm. when she was in the induced coma, we would sing. And one of the songs that I would sing to her, I would say, "Be not dismayed, whatever betide, God will take care of you. Beneath his wings of love abide, God will take care of you. God will take care of you through every day, all of the way. Mm-hmm. He will take care of you. God will take care of you." We mm-hmm. sang that song so many times that even mm-hmm. now we're sitting in the van mm-hmm. and I just start singing it and she just starts singing it with me. So I believe that that, mm-hmm. along with the word of God in her spirit.
That must be an old school jam. I've never heard that one. I'm about to look that one up.
Never heard that?
No, sir. That must be old school. Is that old school? Pastor.
Well, those old school jams have such a strong theological rhetoric, faith rhetoric, that it has carried many a people, many a family through the storms of life, and we can never let them go.
I have a quick question, Pastor Mara, if you don't mind, real quick. So let me ask you this: as a family, would you say that your relationship with Jesus has grown to another level for your family as a whole? Because you know. True victory, honestly, is deepening your trust in Jesus. That's true victory in being successful. Yes. So would you say as a family you all have grown closer?
Yes, we have. We have. You know, we don't always agree on methodology when it comes to it because I'm a disciplinarian and my wife spoils her. But then everybody says that I'm the one that really spoils her. So, but besides all of that, when we work through those things, yes, our faith much stronger. Our walk is much stronger with the Lord.
That's good. Let me ask a question that came up in the Cherubim. One of our guests, Gavel, asked a question. Let me read. It says, how does our being wise in our own eyes line up with the desires we want? Proverbs 3:7 teaches us for us not to be wise in our own eyes, but fear the Lord and depart from evil. So does... Let me read it. I'm going to read it again, okay? How does being wise in our own eyes line up with the desires we want? Proverbs 3:7 teaches us for us not to be wise in our own eyes, but to fear the Lord and depart from evil. Okay, does you follow the question?
Yes, I believe so. Well, the truth of the matter is that in and of ourselves, as the scripture says, and I think in the 15th chapter of John, we can't do anything in and of ourselves.
Mm.
We can't think things through because on our own, without wisdom, because we'll get to a point where we won't know what to do from that point. And then if we look back at everything we did previous to that, we'll discover all the mistakes we made.
Mm-hmm.
And so we have to depend on the wisdom of God. And that's what I was talking about earlier. You got to really, really trust God and be serious about your walk with him.
Mm-hmm.
You see, when you trust God and you depend on the wisdom of God, then the weight is not on you to find the answers or solve the problems.
Mm-hmm.
When you depend on the wisdom of God is like a road map through the chaos of life.
Mm-hmm.
We use modern vernacular. It's the GPS that gets us where we need to go. And the interesting thing about GPS is that it often takes you on a route that you really don't want to go, but mm-hmm. you still get to where you need to be.
That's right.
The wisdom of God does for us.
Mm-hmm.
This is that new generation, Pastor.
In response to that question, now you can't depend on your own wisdom.
No.
You get a big headache.
Mm-hmm. That's right. Well, our time is almost gone, Dr. Morrow. Would you kind of summarize, in spite of victories, protests here, our time is coming to a close. Summarize kind of where Audrey is right now.
Audrey is downstairs. We have a young fellow that we've been mentoring even all through this whole process. He's 7 years old.
Mm-hmm.
And Audrey was downstairs teaching him how to play Scrabble, not on the computer, mm-hmm. but on the original Scrabble board,
mm-hmm.
teaching him how to find words. And so she's still teaching. Then she turned around the one in the living room with her mother, and they was playing the piano. So mm-hmm. the things that were in her are starting to come out of her. She gets depressed sometimes because she thinks that it's taking too long, right. but we keep mm-hmm. reminding her from where she was to where she is. Everybody
there
knows
you go, Daddy.
That God's hand mm-hmm. is on her.
Mm-hmm.
And so today I just encouraged her, and I said, see, mm-hmm. God's using you right now as you teach this young fella
mm-hmm.
how to play Scrabble. He's using you now as you use your left hand, because you can't use your right hand right now, but you're using your left hand, and mm-hmm. you're sounding good.
Mm-hmm.
And you know how what she looks like when she puts that smile on her face.
Mm-hmm.
So we're just going to continue to celebrate what God has done and keep her encouraged and moving forward and challenging her to do what she says she can't do because mm-hmm. God is with her.
Amen. Amen. You know, my wife Birdie and I got a chance to come by just two or three weeks ago. And again, Audrey was absolutely beautiful. She seemed to talk very well and sitting up and doing very, very good. And again, it's miracle after miracle is the best way to describe where God brought her from a year ago to right up to today. And a wonderful, powerful testimony and story. So thank you, Dr. Morrow, for sharing with us. And thank you again for sharing again the journey thus far. But again, lots and lots to praise and thank God for
as
you shared.
Yes, truly enjoyed you, Pastor.
And
thank you. God bless you. I enjoyed you.
All righty then. Father, thank you, Lord, again for Dr. Morrow. Thank you, Father, for the New Generation Ministries Empowerment Center and the work you've called into there. And Lord, thank you for the powerful and the wonderful and the blessed journey you've brought Dr. Morrow, Elaine, and Audrey on. And thank you for how that Audrey will continue to progress and do better and better. Father, we just commit them into your hands. Lord, bless and prosper the work of their hands as they continue in doing the work in inner city Memphis. And Father, more and more, send along their path others that will come along with them in the journey and raise up more intercessors that will join them as they continue to pray for Audrey as well. And Lord, for all of our listeners that may be going through the valley of the shadow of death in different ways in their lives, help them too to recognize, Lord, that you said, never will I leave you nor forsake you, and they never walk alone. As long as you're their shepherd, they will never, ever be alone. Thank you, Lord. In Jesus' name we do pray. Amen. Thank you, Dr. Morrow, for being with us. Thank you, Victor, for being with us today,
too. Thank you, Pastor Parker.
Thank you for being a part of our listening family. As always, we appreciate you tuning in. Join us again next time for the Hour of Intercession.
The views and opinions expressed in this broadcast do not necessarily reflect those of Urban Family Talk, Urban Family Communications, or American Family Association.
Urban Family Talk. Urban Family Talk.